Almost Famous with John Shea. Featuring local and independent musicians from the South Shore, Boston, and New England. On 95.9 WATD.
Welcome to the Almost Famous Tiny Stage 95.9 WATD, introducing you to independent bands and musicians from across New England. Every Tuesday, brought to you by Tiny and Sons Glass, I'm John Shea. If you're a local band or musician with original music you'd like to hear on the radio, please reach out. Find all the contact information on the Almost Famous page at 95.9WATD.com. Give me a follow tonight on Facebook and Instagram at Almost Famous Radio. And subscribe to the podcast. Find that by searching Almost Famous WATD wherever you find your podcasts, or head over to AlmostFamousRadio.com. So tonight, we're being joined on the Tiny Stage by somebody who was here a few years ago. She's back tonight, though, with the full band. We have Jennifer Teft. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I am fantastic. So introduce yourself and then tell us who's in studio with you.
I'm Jen, and I have to my right, John Smirky Perillo.
Guitar player.
Melodious Thunder, Stickman, Chris Draginas, drummer extraordinaire. And Steven Betcha, Sharky, Sharkman, bass player.
Let's start off with you, Jen. Tell us about yourself. How did you get your start in music and what brought you here tonight?
How did I get my start in music? That was a long time ago. I don't remember. Let's see. I got out of college and I decided I wanted to be a musician after spending all that money on a degree. I decided to go play for change in the subways of Cambridge and on the streets. And then I met John through an ex-girlfriend of his, right? Yeah.
Okay. Right.
We've been playing together ever since.
That's a deeper story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot longer story there.
Quite as deep as it sounds.
Went through a couple iterations. We had the same rhythm section for a really long time. And then about a year and a half, 2 years ago, just decided that kind of had run its course. It was time for a little bit of a mix-up, some new energy, some new creative input. Chris and I have been...
She's still looking.
I'm still looking. That's not very nice.
So if somebody's learning about you for the very first time tonight, how would you sell yourself? What's your elevator pitch for somebody just learning about Jennifer Teft?
We're a really good band. No.
I would agree.
Yeah. No, we're... I'd say we're sort of an alternative rock. I kind of like to call it gritty, lush alternative rock. It's got a little bit of a 90s flavor to it. I think we've got a very unique kind of sound, largely due to John's guitar playing. Plays... Very differently. Yeah, your head's getting bigger and bigger. He plays
feel it expanding.
Very differently than a lot of guitar players. He doesn't play the typical licks and things like that. He goes for a lot of very atmospheric, cool sounds and textures and tonal stuff.
Some have said it's searing.
Yes, and some have said they are searing guitar.
Well, I heard some of it during soundcheck, so I can't wait to hear the real thing tonight. You've got a lot of music out on the interwebs. What is out there in the music world from Jennifer Teft and the band?
Well, let's see. We have... 5 full-length albums, a bunch of singles, and then this new album, which will be coming out in May. I have lots of CDs still in my attic, if anyone's looking for some, from the old albums. So I got plenty of those.
And a recent collaboration with our buddy Monk Duane.
Yes, so the actual first single off this forthcoming album was done with Monk, who is a good friend of mine, and I'm a huge fan of his. He's extraordinarily talented and great to work with. And we put that song on this album as well, although he didn't produce the entire album, but he did produce that one single, and we loved working with him.
Before we get to the live stuff, if somebody wants to find you online tonight, where's the best place to go?
You can start at jenniferteft.com, and that's 2 F's, so it's TEFFT.com. I'm also Bandcamp and all the other streaming platforms.
TikTok, any of that stuff?
I just ventured into TikTok, so it's there, but it's nothing great yet. But Facebook is Jennifer Teft. And Jennifer Teft Music and
TikTok will outlast.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm like. Do I really want to devote any time to learning how to do this if they're just going to wipe it out? And also Instagram at Jennifer Teft as well.
Excellent. Let's hear some live music. I heard the sound check. It sounds amazing. What are we kicking off the night with?
I think we're going to kick the night off with the next single that's going to come out shortly, which is called Going Out.
Let's hear it. We have Jennifer Teft and the full band live in studio tonight on the Tiny Stage. 95.9 WATD. Whenever you guys are ready, it's all yours.
Gonna find my killer shoes.
generals her eyes, I know the type. You don't get out too much, you gotta cram it all into one night. You're gonna dance real slow, drink real fast. When the sun comes up too early, gotta make each moment last.
Jennifer Taft live on the WATD Tiny Stage. Give the band another plug because you guys sound phenomenal tonight.
Thank you. Well, we're actually Jennifer Taft and The Strange. So these guys here are The Strange.
Okay.
So we have John Perillo, Chris Georginas, and Stephen Becha, who we call Sharky. And I'm Jen.
Who came up with the band name?
Well, my parents started with my name, right? Mm-hmm. I was born with it.
Yeah.
I think Sharky came up with The Strange.
It was Strange, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always a cool... I don't know. I like the word. The Strange.
The Strange, yeah. The Strange. It really kind of...
The Bears.
And The Bears.
The Bears.
It encapsulates a lot of what happens on a regular basis in the basement.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Talk about that song. How did that song happen?
Going out? I wrote that because I tend to take myself very seriously. Too seriously when I write songs. I like to dig deep into the lyrics and I love minor keys and things that resonate there. And I wanted to challenge myself to write something in a major key. With some fun lyrics, and then turned it over to the band, and John came up with that killer lick. And then the guys jumped right in, and the driving force behind it, and really happy with how it came out.
I know you've been a part of the music community for a while, and you've shared the stage with some incredible people, but take us back to your musical beginnings. How did music first become part of your life?
MTV. I used to sit around and...
What's MTV?
I know, right? For all you youngins out there... I loved watching MTV, and I just got fascinated, not only just by the music, obviously. I grew up, my parents had a huge record collection, and I used to sit in the family room and sort through those all day long. But then when MTV came out, I was like, that's what I want to do. Went to school, studied music, classical music, which I don't remember any of, and then just started to start playing songs in Subway, and went from there. John and I started playing, cover tunes, I guess, when we first started.
We did. Cover songs, and we tried our hand at writing a few originals, but it was acoustic. We were an acoustic duo at the beginning.
What's the first song you remember hearing that you're thinking, wow, I want to do this?
That's a long time ago, John. I was in love with Pat Benatar when I was younger. She was always my hero.
I can hear that in your sound, totally.
I don't know. What about you guys?
For me, it was Hot Blooded by Foreigner.
Really?
Yeah.
I did love Foreigner.
That and Shout It Out Loud by Kiss. Those two songs, they played on a JB 105. That was the station we used to listen to. I heard those two songs and I got to go get that. From there, it was all downhill.
I don't know if I had a particular song. It was mostly just big drummers. Probably a Led Zeppelin album.
Wasn't Manamanam?
Sesame Street. Yeah. That was good, too. I don't know. A lot of it was the big band jazz era with Buddy Rich and Louis Belson and those guys. But I think it was, in the 80s, it was the Police.
And last but not least.
I would have to say it was the Beatles.
Mm.
I loved the sounds and the harmonies, and I wanted to learn how to finger pick, so I took up acoustic guitar and wanted to finger pick, and then, of course, eventually I discovered like Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, and then U2 mm-hmm. came on the scene, and
mm-hmm.
U2 has left its mark on me.
A little bit.
Jen, when did it go from being just a hobby to being a full-time career?
Maybe a little over 10 years ago. Yeah, I had been at home with my kids. I worked various jobs and up until I had kids. Then after I had my kids, I was home with them. And after they got old enough to sort of give me a little bit of time on my own, I started doing a lot of acoustic stuff on my own also to help fill the bank account. But I've always wanted to do it full time, you know, but original music is a tough haul to try to support yourself with. So there's a lot of acoustic cover tune gigs in there and some licensing. And I also teach little kids music and stuff. So
very cool. Let's do more live stuff. We got the full band. What are we listening to next? Jennifer Taft and the Strange.
What do we want to do next? How about Caffeine?
Mm.
Good
that was
call.
The
Good
last
call.
Single that just came out.
Let's hear it. We have Jennifer Taft and the Strange live on the WATD Tiny Stage. Whenever you're ready, it's all yours.
I want to.
Jennifer Teft and The Strange on the Tiny Stage, 95.9 WATD. Talk about that song, Caffeine.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's the pee break song.
Yeah. That's right.
A lot of dancing in the studio tonight.
I love that song. So it's a joke that, I mean, I drink a ton of water and I have a tiny bladder, so I have to pee like every half hour. So I leave the basement during rehearsal and I usually leave my in-ear monitors in and I can hear them. They usually go into like Metallica or weird cover tunes. They go down a rabbit hole and I came down and they were working on that riff that John was playing and then like the bass line. And it was just, I'm like, what is that? We got to work on that. It just wrote itself. Like, I don't even, it just really happened very organically and just sort of came out of nowhere.
It wasn't even fleshed out fully when we were in the studio.
Right.
No,
we just, we were playing it live and we're all looking at each other like, where does it go? Where does it go?
I don't think you had finished lyrics or did
I
you?
I didn't finish the lyrics till I went to Florida for the vocal sessions with Bob. And I was literally writing them in between feeding his cats.
Bob just turned off the click track and said, just play it.
Yep.
We're like, okay, however it starts and ends, whatever happens in between.
Yeah. We even called Audible somewhere in there. Right. It was like, where are we going? Right, just go for the verse.
It literally wrote itself.
Yeah.
I think that's well said.
Yeah. But it was so fun.
I think that's, describes how we are as a band, though. I mean, there's a lot of good chemistry. And when we're in the, in Jen's basement practicing, we really come together and it just a lot of stuff starts happening. And I mean, John just has this encyclopedia of music and he can just start playing any riff and we just kind of go off of that.
Well, I can see the chemistry just, watching through the glass, communicating with your eyes while people are playing solos and stuff like that. So really cool, the relationship you guys all have together.
I haven't had this much fun in a long time. I really love playing with these people.
Well, you took a short break from music because I think the last time you were here was 2020, and I think you had just released Better Days. What happened during that time? How did you grow artistically?
Well, there were a couple other singles in there that I did sort of with a remote producer through COVID. We were just exchanging files. I was just kind of getting burnt out on the current situation. It wasn't fun anymore. Artistically and creatively, I wasn't feeling really motivated, and we just needed to make some changes. And it took a little while to make those changes and then to find Chris and Sharky to fill in the holes. And we laugh so much during rehearsal and we have so much fun. And it really has just kind of lit the fire under my butt again to do this.
Sounds amazing. Well, you guys all sound amazing. So thank you so much for being here. Well,
thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thanks.
We are up against our first break of the Tiny Stage Hour. We have a lot more to chat about. We have a ton of more songs to share as well. So stick around. You're listening to the Almost Famous Tiny Stage, 95.9 WATD, brought to you each week by Tiny and Sons Glass.
And now, back to Almost Famous on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to the Almost Famous Tiny Stage Hour, 95.9 WATD, introducing you to independent bands and musicians from across New England. Every Tuesday, brought to you by Tiny and Sons Glass, I'm John Shea, being joined tonight by Jennifer Teft and The Strange. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great. All right.
Sounding phenomenal tonight. So let's do another round of introductions. Who is here?
I'm Jen.
I'm John.
I'm Chris.
I'm Sharky.
Share with us the online information. Where can you be found?
You can go to jennifertheft.com. You can go to @JenniferTeft on Instagram. Jennifer Teft and The Strange on Spotify, as well as Jennifer Teft and Jennifer Teft Band on Spotify and all the other places.
So I've got a couple of your CDs that go back, I want to say, to like the late 90s, even in some cases.
Yeah, but I was so very young.
I mean, you're 25 now. So
exactly. I was super young.
What is out there from you that people can find on the streaming services?
So everything is up on streaming, I believe. All 5 albums and then a bunch of singles that we've released over the years. And then our newest single, which came out in February, is called Caffeine. And that is everywhere as well. And we have a new single coming out on April 12th, which is going out, which we played earlier. And then the new album will be out in May, and that will be everywhere as well.
Fantastic. If somebody wants to find any show date information, will those be made available as well?
Yep, those are everywhere. So that's on the website. You can also find that in Bands in Town and also on Songkick, which is, I guess, linked to Spotify and Facebook. We post all the gigs on Facebook and also Rock Garden Records, which is our new record label.
Cool.
Lists everything as well.
I usually wait till later on in the night to ask this question, but I want to throw it out to you now. Your favorite Spinal Tap moment since you guys have been playing together?
I don't think we've been together long enough to actually have we?
Actually, when we played Zombie... I accidentally struck Jen in the head and with my bass.
I tried to kill her with his bass, and she had
blood streaming down her forehead. It was great though.
Fallout shelter.
You tried to create a real zombie.
Yeah. I did. It was a rock and roll moment.
It was
blood dripping down my face.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I still like you.
Pretty good.
Is that on camera?
Yeah,
somewhere.
It is.
It was Fallout shelter, so they videoed it.
Yes, I love that place.
Yeah.
When bases attack.
Yeah.
What's your favorite onstage moment so far? Was that it? Maybe not for Jen, but for the rest of you.
That's funny. They all kind of turn into a blur. Like, you don't really recall each onstage moment.
I know your Mamakin story is pretty legendary.
Oh, you want to talk about all the way back. Yeah. I don't know if that was my favorite because that was kind of gross. Joe Perry hawks a lot of loogies on stage, and they actually opened for us that night. We played directly after them, and I don't wear shoes most of the time on stage. Oh, and
see where this is going.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Exactly.
Don't finish the story.
On that note, let's do some more live music. What are we listening to next?
Let's do Should Have Known Better.
Let's hear it. Jennifer Teft and The Strange, 95.9 WATD on the Tiny Stage.
All right. Don't go too fast, Mr. Sharkman. No, no, this is not rehearsal. I'm sorry. I have no control over it. Watch the tempo, Sharkman.
This tempo will be perfect. It will be perfect. Should have known better.
Your silence for a day and now a week. I don't know what the plan is, but I guess you don't include me. But my own was when I started to lean on your shoulders, cause you're too proud to admit you need me. Waiting on you cuts me to the core. You don't know what your plan is, well, save it, cause I've heard it before. I should have known better. I not gonna beg you. I should have known better. I gonna forget you.
Jennifer Teft and the Strange, sounding amazing tonight. Full band. It's not that often I get a full band in studio here, so you guys sound great tonight. Talk about that song. How did that one happen?
By the way, that was a nice segue, though. Should have known better to take your shoes off on that stage.
Yes, very good.
You did there. Very good. Yeah.
Very nice.
Should have known better was written last summer. I was, well, for lack of better words, pissed off at my current significant other. Kind of all manifested into that song. I had written a text, literally wrote a text, and it was a bombshell, like, this could really just mess everything up or whatever, but it was designed to get a reaction, and it didn't. It was met with serious radio silence for like 2 weeks, and I was like, what the heck?
Didn't he laugh when he heard the song?
That was not an awkward moment at all, playing that song for him for the first time. It's his favorite song. He loves it.
So I was just going to say, like, typically when you write a song about somebody, do they know it's about them?
I think they usually figure it out. I mean, I don't know how you don't write songs about your relations and stuff. The most awkward moment I've had is we did a barn show, I think, back at the old configuration of the band, and my ex-husband was there doing sound, and my current boyfriend was there as well, just in the audience, and I have songs written about both of them. And it was very uncomfortable.
I can imagine.
Inception.
Yeah.
Glares from the audience, glare from the sound booth.
Like looking at each other like, who's that one about? Is that about you? Is that about him?
Well, let's talk more about songwriting. How did songwriting first enter your life?
I've always written, even since I was little. I remember being in the bow of my dad's little aluminum boat singing and making up songs about tigers. I very distinctly remember that, about striped tigers. That was one of my first songs. No, I wrote a lot of poetry when I was younger, all through up through high school and stuff, and then... you know, when you do that, it just sort of morphs into lyrics once you start doing the music thing.
How do you think your writing has evolved over time?
I think it's become a whole lot more intentional. I think I used to just, whatever came out stayed. You know, you didn't really do any editing or real deep digging. And I've learned the process of songwriting over the many, many years. So the first draft is not what, you know, makes it to the record anymore. There's some songs that I've written probably 15 or 20 different versions of, or, you know, I've kind of pillaged songs that have sat dormant in my journals and made different songs out of them. So
when is a song finished? When is it ready to be played live and even recorded?
When we record it in the studio.
Right. When and someone presses record.
And then we have to learn what we recorded.
But I don't think
no,
but oftentimes the song's ever really finished.
No.
Yeah. No, they change.
They constantly evolve.
Yeah, they mature when you play them
right.
1,000 times over.
Like fine wine.
Even stuff that we recorded on this new album, we're still refining it as we're playing.
Does it have a name yet?
The album?
Yes.
Yeah, it's called Strange Beginnings.
So how many songs did you go into the album with, and then how many made the final cut?
We went in with 7 and we came out with 8.
Okay.
So that was good, yeah. I've written a ton of songs between the last album and this song, and not all of them make it to these guys.
How do you know if a song is going to work with the band, if it's going to work more acoustically? How do you make that decision?
I guess it depends on how strong I feel about it and what the reaction is if I play it for them. If they look at me like, huh? I'm kind of like, all right, we'll just put that one away for a while. Or, you know, and then now what's really cool, which is the part I love about this, is that we're writing together now. So Sharky will bring a bass riff in, or John will have something, or Chris will have a beat. And it's a much more collaborative effort, which I love, because, you know, when you're sitting there with an acoustic guitar by yourself, you fall into these ruts. You kind of go to the same things over and over again. And it's awesome to have that exchange of creativity mm-hmm. in the room and to work together like that.
Awesome. I want to talk more about the band arrangements once you're rehearsing, but let's do more live stuff from the band.
Let's do the ballad. We'll do a Second Chance to Burn.
We're going to slow things down. We're going to get sad. The Tiny Stage. Jennifer Teft and the Strange, 95.9 WATD.
The shirt on clean, searching for a sign, should I stay or should I leave? Are we dead or alive? I'm scared to death. Everything I feel takes my breath. Looking for a reason that's strong enough to believe. So talk me down tonight. fight. Drawn to the fire, we burn our wings, and we crave the fire and the pain it brings. Now we're picking through the ashes for a second chance. Drawn to the fire, we burn too close, and we are the things we love the most. Now we're picking through the ashes for a second chance, a second chance to burn. Say your name, two steps back for everyone I take. Years gone by, this fight is always the same. There's truth in the pain, I know it's true. Ashes are scattered somewhere new. Both our hands are dirty, if it's truth I'm telling today. So tug me down tonight. Talk me through the fight. Drop to the flame, we burn our wings, and we crave the fire and the pain it brings. Now we're picking through the ashes for a second chance. Drop to the fire, we fly too close, and we burn the things we love the most. Now we're down tonight. Drop to the flame, we burn our wings, and we crave the fire and the pain it brings. Now we're picking through the ashes for a second chance. Drawn to the fire, we fly too close, and we buy the things we love the most. Now we're picking through the ashes for a second chance. A second chance to burn. 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 So talk me down tonight.
Sounding great tonight, Jennifer Teft and the Strange here on 95.9 WATD. Talk about that song, the ballad, Second Chance.
Second Chance to Burn. That one for me was sort of the same period of when Should Have Known Better was written, and it's kind of a dual meaning there. Sort of my relationship with my significant other and also my relationship with my music career, which, you know, this is not an easy business. I've tried to walk away many times and I always find myself coming back. That song has that sort of duality of those. And I'm actually really proud of those lyrics. I worked pretty hard on those.
How do you adapt a song that you're very used to playing live to a studio setting? Does it ever change? Do you have to work things out with the producer to make it more adaptable for a studio setting? Talk about that experience.
I mean, I think we recorded it to sound live and try not to put too much extra on it.
Yeah, I think that was one of the main goals of this album was when we were talking to...
Make it sound live?
Well, we just didn't want to have to use like electronic tracks or anything like that. We all wanted to be able to create a record with our instruments and be able to mainly pull it off live. I mean, you know, there's always doublings of guitars and there's a gazillion guitar tracks and things like that. And you know, you have to sort of adapt it live and figure out which parts are the most important parts of the arrangement. But I think that was really a main focus for us, was making sure that it truly representative of what we do live.
So speaking of the album's coming out, you said in May?
May 17th, May 18th. Oh, I should have wrote it down.
It's okay. You can follow, May 18th. Follow the socials for information on that.
Yes, definitely. We'll be doing a release party. It's actually up in Lowell at Koto, which is a new club up there. So I hope maybe some of you South Shore people will adventure up a little bit north and come see us in Lowell.
Sounds great.
On June 14th.
What was your favorite moment in the studio making this album?
I have a lot of them.
There were a lot.
There were a ton. It was magical. We had so much fun. It was the first time working with Bob St. John. But I always tell people about this moment. It was during a song called Down on My Knees. And it was just me, John, and Bob in the studio at that point. And John was standing in between Bob and I. John had his back to me. And he was like kind of like frustrated or something. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do for this solo, whatever. And Bob's like, yeah, whatever. Just let it rip. And he went into that solo. And like the very first chord or note he played, Bob and I kind of looked around at each other. And we're like, what the heck just happened? It was like, and we're holding our breath hoping he didn't stop because it was so good. And I giggle every time I hear it. That's one of those. So cool.
Is that the take we went with?
Yeah.
It was.
It was the first take, you know?
Melt your face.
Love it. Let's do some more live music. What are we listening to next?
All right. Let's play
Down on My Knees.
Down on My Knees. Oh, yeah. We just talked about that song. Yeah,
I was hoping you were going to say that. Let's hear it. Jennifer Taft and the Strange, 95.9 WATD, live on the Tiny Stage.
Wake up, I cannot sleep. Wake up, I'm trying to breathe, but there's something resting on my chest that I need to release. Tick-tock, it will not die. Tick-tock, gonna break this damn clock. If a moment passes by in my heart, runs away with my thoughts. On and on, I find the remedy. Chasing thoughts that are the enemy. Twist and turn till I can barely breathe. You got me down on my knees. Wake up, I cannot sleep. Wake up, can't you feel that heat? I'm burning up and melting down inside, and I need some relief. Holding on, I find the remedy. Chasing thoughts that are the enemy. Twist and turn till I can barely breathe. You got me. I just can't sleep, my thoughts, they creep, my mind goes deep. And tick-tock, this broken clock, my thoughts, they mock and ill.
Jennifer Taft and the Strange live on the WATD Tiny Stage, sounding unbelievably great tonight. Love the way you guys sound. Down on My Knees, how did that song start? I know you talked about the arrangement of it, but I want to hear how the song happened.
That song's been around for a long time. I was actually supposed to be on the last album that came out in like 2017.
So it's been a hot minute.
Yeah, and I play it a ton acoustic. Like I've been just had it forever, and we tried it and it just couldn't get out of its own way. We couldn't figure out what it was supposed to do, and it finally found its footing on this time around.
I mean, still in the studio is where it all came together.
I was just thinking that that's another one that came together in the studio.
Yeah, it did. Jen gave us the acoustic demo. We listened to it. We played it several times in the basement. We even did some pre-production with Bob St. John. And then we kind of like, oh, okay, we're going to the studio with this. And
we're good under pressure.
Yeah, and see what happens.
I'm like sitting there with John going, no, like, go like this. Bee-boo, bee-boo. And the guitar part, yeah. Do this squeaky thing. And
I knew what she meant. All those bee-boos and squawks and swanks.
Yep. And it came out pretty good.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that I've been asking lately on this show, at least over the past couple of years, as a woman in rock music or in any genre of music, what do you feel right now is being done right? And what still needs to be worked on to make this music community safe and inclusive for everyone?
Well, I have to say, as a female in this industry, I've been super lucky. We all have those nights where you walk out to your car and you get harassed by somebody or something like that. And I'm sure I've been, you know, left out of things along the way, you know, all these mail bills put together. And I distinctly remember, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, where there was being told that rock was all testosterone right now. We don't really have any room for like a female voice. And that was pretty discouraging. But I have to say, overall, I've felt pretty good about my journey as like a woman in rock. I do think that we tend to view it in this city almost a little bit too competitively. I think, you know, I would like to see a little more collaboration between bands. I would like to see more venues pull in indie bands and female fronted bands. But what I don't like being always put on is like the female band night. You know, I mean, it's like we're not female musicians. We are musicians.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't have to define what we do. I mean, I've been to some pretty crazy hardcore punk shows that were led by women, and they blew the doors off the place more than a guy would have. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen the same thing, which is kind of one of the reasons why I'm asking the question, because there's more strong women in the scene right now than there seems to be strong men in the scene.
There really are. And I have to say this too, that sort of mature women. I don't know if it's just that like the rock scene is aging and, you know, the younger set is doing more, you know, digital stuff or whatever, but I'm really psyched to see a lot of really strong, mature women out there rocking. I mean, Robin Lane is out there doing stuff now. She's recording some new stuff, you know, from the Chartbusters and everything. And she's almost 80.
You know? That's incredible. Like, I love that so much.
And she rocks really hard. I've met a lot of other women, especially over the last 5 to 10 years, that I'm really inspired by and like watching them and watching their climb up the hill.
On that note, we have a lot more to chat about with Jennifer Teft and The Strange here on the Tiny Stage. One more song to share as well. 95.9 WATD back in just a few.
And now back to Almost Famous on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back for the final time to the Tiny Stage, 95.9 WATD, introducing you to independent bands and musicians from across New England, brought to you by Tiny and Sons Glass. If you're a local musician with original music you'd like to hear on the radio, please reach out, find all the contact information on the Almost Famous page at 95.9WATD.com. Give me a follow, Facebook and Instagram at Almost Famous Radio. There's a podcast, too. This interview will be up as a podcast. Almost Famous WATD on your favorite podcast app or at almostfamousradio.com. With that out of the way, we say hello for the final time tonight to Jennifer Teft and The Strange. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great. Doing good.
Is ATD an acronym for anything?
We all take drugs.
I was going to say I was going to say artists that drink, but
No. Okay.
I like that one.
The actual name is We're at the Dump, believe it or not, because our transmitter is at the Marshfield Dump. And
is awesome.
Wow. The owner of the radio station had a couple of drinks before he filed the paperwork for the FCC back in the 70s and decided We're at the Dump. Why not?
Yep. That's so awesome. Memorable now. I would always remember it.
We are totally demented. There's many of them.
That's cool. I like that.
We're at the Dump. We're at the Dump.
At the Dump.
We are. Okay. The studio is being renovated, so it won't be the Dump for much longer. Who is in studio tonight? Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Sharky.
Oh, we're going the opposite direction. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
I'm Jen.
Just quickly across the room here, and I asked you this question the last time you were here, and it might still be the same answer, but a song you wish you had written, what is it?
What did I say then?
It was a tribe song.
Oh, yeah. Anything by Tribe. Joyride?
Joyride, yeah.
Joyride, yeah. Anything by them. I love Tribe.
Oh, man. There's so many good songs.
I know. All the ones that made all the money.
No, yeah, exactly.
Right. Any Beatles song?
Baby Shark.
I was going to say
Baby
Jude Shark. Or something.
Baby Shark.
Or
Baby Shark.
Dream
Happy
On.
Birthday.
Dream On by Aerosmith would have been a good one to write.
Mm. Bop.
No.
Bop, not.
Not bop.
Phenomena.
So, I don't know. We're not very good at this on the spot.
How about a song you wish was never written? Your most hated song of all time.
Oh, my God. Four Non-Blondes.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, no.
I would
that's
agree.
Not fair.
I can't. That song? No, please.
Oh, man. I love that song.
Get
when
off
I
the fence.
Everybody knows I hate that song.
Vicki Lynch, if you're listening.
For me, it's the Cars for Kids jingle. That
oh,
comes
that too.
Radio.
1-877 cars.
Oh, no.
You know, as soon as I hear the hi-hats, I just can't turn the radio off fast enough.
When I hear that guitar, Four Non-Blondes, I'm like, no, turn it off. It also used to be Running Up the Hill.
Oh, Kate Bush?
Yeah, but I like that song now.
I don't know if we can be friends anymore.
No, I like that song now.
Okay.
I didn't like it back in the day.
Running Up. And I don't want to insult the guy who wrote that jingle, by the way.
It's a fantastic
it's
jingle.
It's an earworm, so he did his job really well.
I hate the Wings Christmas song. Bam, bam, bam. What is that?
Oh, Wonderful Christmas
Time.
Wonderful
that
Christmas
song. Time. If that never, ever happened again, it would be okay with me. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ones out there that should never have been written.
Well, some good songs are on the album that's coming out in May.
I hope so.
So give us the details on that. And you've got an album release show coming up, you said, in Lowell?
Yes, so the album is coming out May 18th. The release party show is June 14th up at Koto in Lowell. But before that, if you'd like to come hang out with us, we're playing Friday, April 5th at Fireseed Arts in Framingham, which is a really cool space. Adam Sherman is actually going to start the night out for us there. Adam's like a legend, so we're really excited about that.
Very cool. If somebody wants to find you online, where's the best place to go?
JenniferTeft.com, and there are two F's in Teft.
And we have time for one more song before we close things out. So what's that going to be?
Is that Lullaby?
Lullaby.
Lullaby. Let's hear it. Thank you guys so much for being here. Best of luck with everything. Get home safely. Best of luck with the album release show and all that stuff. And we hope to catch you here in maybe less than 5 years.
All right. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you. 95.9 WATD. One last time. The song name is?
Lullaby.
Turn the light, I feel you breathing by my